Welcome to the Living a Naturally Healthy Life podcast with Delaine, the MD, the podcast for people looking to correct chronic illnesses such as diabetes through lifestyle change. I'm Dr. Delaine Vaughn. As a physician, I see many patients who are ill because of lifestyle decisions such as food choices. Typically, diseases such as diabetes are managed with pills or injections. This approach creates a vicious, expensive, and unhealthy cycle of medication and then more medication to address the negative side effects. As a physician and a life coach, I work with clients to resolve their diseases, get off their medications, and live a naturally healthy life. If you don't like the healthcare system in America, I recommend you use less of it by being naturally healthy. So if you feel there has to be a better, more natural way to live a healthy life, you are in the right place. Hello, welcome to the Reversing Diabetes with Delaine MD podcast, episode number 86. I'm your host, Dr. Delaine Vaughn. If you are looking for strategies to live a naturally healthy life, you are in the right place. Today, we are going to talk about linguistic space. It's quite a topic. I love it. I think you're going to love it. Stay tuned. Before we get started, I want to share with you some of the things that I'm doing. I'm always looking for ways to uplevel my health. I talked about this last week, but I got my WHOOP in the mail, W-H-O-O-P, WHOOP. I'm looking forward to getting some data from it so that I can share it with you guys. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, make sure you check out last week's podcast. I tell you about this little gadget. I'm really hoping it will give some objective data for how much stress we experience. I feel like that's a really challenging thing for us as human beings to gauge. So I know that my clients very much challenged with deciding when they're stressed and when they're not stressed, and recognizing if you have type 2 diabetes, stress can really play a big role in how much what your glucose readings are and also how much insulin you're kicking out. So I think this may be a really helpful gadget, and I'm going to keep you posted on it. I am not paid by WHOOP, by the way. Don't even know that I really should be mentioning their name, like by brand, but I'm living on the edge here. This is how I do it. So I also want to touch base and let you guys know what's coming up in upcoming podcasts. I have a lot of goodies planned. I have couple different interviews I'm going to be doing. One of the interviews will be with a life and purpose coach. She works with people on finding their purpose in life. And I think that this is so relevant to reclaiming our health, because so much of that process has to do with what your belief about your purpose in life is. If you have a belief that your purpose in life is to be here for your family so that you can help them and watch your family grow and build great memories with your family, but you know that your type 2 diabetes might be preventing the longevity that you want in your life, it's really, really important to tap in to that purpose. It's going to be a great conversation, so definitely check that out. I'm also going to be doing a podcast in the near future about how your fat cells are making you fat, not the other way around, right? We believe that we eat and that the eating is what makes us fat. But the science is starting to show that that's not the case. That's great new information, so look out for that podcast. Today, let's dig into linguistic space. So linguistic space is defined as the space related to language, okay? I like to look at it as the space that's created by language. Creating that space allows you to gain a shift in your perspective on a situation. You all know that I use the thought model in my coaching. A reminder of what I'm talking about with a thought model is that we all have circumstances in life. We have thoughts about those circumstances. Our thoughts create our feelings create our actions, and our actions create our results. I love this tool, and I think it's very, very helpful. But sometimes before we use this tool, you may need to take a moment to figure out what you're actually feeling. Sometimes we get so tied up in the experience that it's very difficult to hash out the feelings from the thoughts, and sometimes even being clear on what's our action, what actions we're actually doing. It can be very, very sticky in the heat of a moment. And this is when I help my clients implement other tools to create some space so you can look at it. This is where linguistic space can help. So if you have a story about your day, say you're having the worst day ever. We've all had it, right? Rough morning, woke up late, my fasting blood sugar was high. It's high because I ate a box of Girl Scout cookies last night. My kids are cranky. The dog got in the trash. Traffic's heavy. And my morning is topped off with an email when I get to work from my kid's teacher saying I forgot to sign a form for the school. You're going through your work day. Work is hectic and busy. There was a bad outcome. You haven't had a chance to dig into it and figure out what happened. You're rushing home to get dinner started for your kids and your family. You get a speeding ticket on the way home. By the time you get home, you are just done. You're over it all. You find yourself sitting in the pantry door trying to decide if you want to eat the Girl Scout cookies or the potato chips, even though you know what that choice did to your blood sugars the night before. I see you out there. I know this is how it is because I've been there. This was my life. This was exactly how my days went. Frequently, and I'm not saying that every day was the worst day, that it was that dramatic, but I am saying that this was where I found myself frequently in the evenings, trying to figure out how to manage all of what was going on in my day. So this was my life before I learned these tools to kind of manage my thoughts and my feelings of what was going on. So this is where using the thought model can be helpful, but the question that comes to, which thought, which feeling? Do you use the thought model on the frustration from oversleeping or the fear that was created by your blood sugars or the fear that was created by your thoughts of the blood sugars or the disappointment that you have in yourself from eating the Girl Scout cookies or the irritation that you have about your cranky kids or the annoyance with the dog or the hurriedness from the traffic or the embarrassment about the email from the kids' school? Do you look at the worry about the bad outcome from work or the uncertainty of what happened at work or the overwhelm of the entire day? Or do you look at how you're pissed off about the ticket? What do you look at? Sometimes the cumulative intensity of an experience like this can just be too much to implement the thought model immediately. It's in these experiences that I find using a different tool in the initial steps can be useful. So there is a tool, it's called the SAIN tool, S-A-I-N, S as in Sam, A-I-N as in Nancy. It's a psychological studies tool. It's a tool that's used in psychology. So SAIN stands for stop, allow or acknowledge, investigate, and then non-identification. The non-identification component is really where we create that linguistic space. This is the skill of holding our emotions without allowing them to identify who we are, but instead seeing them as an experience we're having, not an identifying characteristic. This allows you to take a step out of the emotion that you're experiencing and decide how you want to respond to it. This allows that perspective shift. So in my example of that, the worst day ever, if you use the SAIN tool, what it looks like is you're stopping at the pantry door and you're going to give yourself 3 minutes. You're going to take a deep breath and then you're going to acknowledge what you are experiencing right now and you're going to allow for it. This doesn't need to be looking at the entire day. You don't need to list everything. You just need to look at what you're experiencing right now. Overwhelm, maybe, exhaustion, maybe, frustration, maybe. Allowing it, acknowledging it is the step here. And then the next step is you investigate it. This is my favorite part because I really feel like this investigation component diffuses the situation. Are you feeling overwhelmed? Ask yourself why. What answer do you come up with when you answer that question? I'm worried about my health, but here I am looking at Girl Scout cookies. Maybe that's the answer to why you're feeling overwhelmed. Or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because you have to deal with kids. Or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because you have to figure whatever is going on at work. Maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because you have to pay that ticket. Or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed because you have to get dinner ready. And then ask yourself in this investigation stage, is this even true? Is this what I have to do right now? Right now, what do I actually need? Right now, what is going on? Right now, what are you wanting to accomplish? Sometimes we have to get very granular in the stage. Like, what do I need to do in the next 5 minutes? Like, let me focus on what's going on in the next 5 minutes, just right there. What is going on? Investigate all of the other things. Do they actually need to be done right now? When we list all of these things that we believe need to be done right now, it drives this urgency, and that urgency gives you a feeling of threat. Like those two feelings get tied up together. Reminding yourself that you're safe. You have everything you need to keep living right now. Rarely does any of it need to be done right in this moment. You're not going to fix your diabetes right now. You cannot change your A1C in the next 5 minutes. You are not going to make the kids stop being cranky in the next 5 minutes. You're not going to do it right now. You can't fix the issue at work right now in the next 5 minutes. You aren't going to pay that speeding ticket in the next 5 minutes. Maybe you're going to work on dinner sometime in the next 5 minutes. That might be something you're going to do in the next five minutes. But asking yourself what actually needs to be done right now. But even making dinner, recognize making dinner does not need to be done right now. It may be where you choose to put your time and energy in the next 5 minutes. The rest of those things you're not probably going to fix in the next 5 minutes. After you complete this investigation component, it's really important to give yourself the step of non-identification for what you're experiencing. This is the separation of you from your emotion. That's the linguistic space that's so important. This is where you can see that you're feeling overwhelmed, not that you are overwhelmed. This is how you can experience worry about your health without identifying as being worried, as embodying worried. This is where you can feel irritated with how your kids are behaving without being irritated with your kids, right? You can allow yourself to feel a feeling and experience it without identifying with it. When you identify yourself as an overwhelmed person or as a worried person or as an irritated person, you're giving yourself that characteristic and it's very hard to move through it then. That's where the feeling gets stuck because you're identifying as this. And that's where giving yourself the linguistic space and saying that you're feeling this, you're experiencing this versus you are it. Can you see the difference? One way of phrasing it defines you, and the other way gives you some space to deal with it. That small space and change can ratchet down the intensity of your experience, and suddenly there's a little give in your experience to decide how you want to handle it. This is the space that you need to make a decision that aligns with who you want to be. So I want you to try this out. As I've said in the past, this is exactly what I work with my clients on. This is the kind of work that we do. If you believe this is the kind of work that is going to help you to live that naturally healthy life, recognize there's help with this. This is not stuff we are taught in our society. This is not the American way, right? This is stuff that I did not know until in my late 30s, early 40s, right? So recognize if this is the help that you feel like you need to live a naturally healthy life, there is help for you. Email me, Delaine@DelaineMD.com. You can set up a free mini coaching session. You can also schedule this by going to the Work With Me tab on my website at DelaineMD.com. So during a mini coaching session, we discuss where your current pain points and struggles are for your health. I coach you through one of them. You see if that coaching is what is going to be beneficial for you. We discuss my program if you think that that would be helpful for you. And then you can make a decision if that's the right next step for you. There is help. Make sure you take advantage of the help available to you. All right, that's all I have for you this week. I will talk with you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you've enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe and share with your friends and family. Also, leave me a review. If you want to resolve your diabetes naturally without any pills or injections, I can help you. Visit DelaineMD.com for more information. Click on the Work With Me tab, send me a message, and we can set up a mini coaching session. You guys have a great week. I'll talk to you soon.